Amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And for all the little ones, you guys can go ahead. Miss Kylie's going to be there to take you all and lead you through your Bible lessons. For the adults, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I'm sure many of you know that there are some great titles given to Hebrews 11. Some call it the Hall of Faith, or the Hall of Heroes, or the Heroes of the Faith. These are just kind of the titles there, and you'll see as we go through that it goes through the Old Testament and highlights their faith. But I think we need to take a step back before we jump in here and introduce and talk about Hebrews as the Hall of Faith, to just talk about what Hebrews itself is. And the short way to put it here is the theme of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. You see, we don't know for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we know this, their audience, by the name here we can tell, is a Hebrew audience. They had the Jewish faith. They understood their Old Testament probably better than anybody around. And so the point here written is for them to understand that this Old Testament is pointing to Jesus, and not only that, that Jesus is better than the things we saw in the Old Testament. We had angels communicate commandments to us, but now we have something much better. We have the Son of God. We had a high priest who could mediate for us, but now we have a high priest who could never fail and is always mediating for us. So on and so forth it goes. And within this pitch here, we move into Hebrews chapter 11, and they bring up this faith heritage that we have. And just to make it clear here, why we have a chapter dedicated to the heroes of the faith, or Hall of Faith, in a book that's all about how Jesus is better, we have to see the connection here with faith to Christ. Now, Christ and God's grace came through Christ. In Christ, we receive grace, but we need to make sure that we know the connecting point here is our faith. By grace, you are saved through faith in Christ. Now, make sure to understand that clearly. Like, we could have faith in a lot of things, but that faith is not going to save us unless it's connected to the right thing. The faith has to be connected to Christ, who we're seeing here is better, and it's got to be connected to His grace, which He saved us through. So, our faith is not what's saving us, it's God's grace, but our faith is what is connecting us to that. So, that's why we have the author of Hebrews here, who's saying Jesus is better, and telling them to commit to Jesus and to never leave away from Him. And now they're bringing up the point here is that those in the Old Testament are doing the same thing. They're connecting in faith, not to Jesus by name, but to God. And we know Jesus is God, so we know that they're connecting to Him too. So if you look here, we're going to go shortly through the first four verses of Hebrews 11 and just talk about the introduction and the first character we have here in our Hall of Faith. So, chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh." Let's pray real quick. Father God, we are just so grateful for Christ and for the grace that we have in him. And Lord, we're grateful that you have made it so simple, that even a child... And that a child is our example, is how we are to be. That even a child can be saved. And that it doesn't matter what kind of sinner we are, we can come to you if we come in faith for Christ Jesus. Thank you for painting this picture as far back in the Old Testament, since the beginning, and showing us the beauty of it here now. Thank you for those who came before us and have laid an example of how we are to be. So Lord, fix our eyes on that example, fix our eyes on their faith so that we will emulate that in our lives and leave an example for those who go behind us too, Lord. We ask this all in your precious and holy name. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, begins with a statement that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now realize right here, the author of Hebrews is not setting out to give us a full theological definition of what faith is, right? There are more things that could be said about faith, but the point here is, again, he's connecting faith to Christ, and so he's giving us an explanation that connects us to these people that he's about to talk to. And this shows a little bit here. If you read your Old Testament, Hebrews sounds a lot like it. Because in the same way that the Old Testament will frame a statement and almost rephrase it, it will parallel statements together to emphasize a point. Here you see that when he says, it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I mean, here, evidence and substance are almost identical. The things hoped for, we know, are things that are not seen. So he's giving us an emphasis on what faith is through these things. Now, so first look at this here. When we see that it's the substance, we're seeing it's a tangible expression of certainty, right? This is real. It's substantial, in other words. It's not empty. It's not vain. There's actually something to it. And the substance is connected to what is hoped for. Now, again, remember that hope is not like how the world says they hope. And when the world talks about hoping for something, it's a wish. It's not certain, and you don't have that. You don't have that tangibility. But in the Bible, when we talk about hope, we talk about assurance, certainty that's going on here. So faith here, we're seeing, is a tangible certainty for something that you are uncertain with, that you are certain with. That's what faith connects us here with hope. In other words, as he puts it, it's the evidence of things not seen. See, if you saw the things that you hoped for, you wouldn't need to have that hope. You would have belief. I mean, when you look back to when Paul talks about the greatest gifts, and he says faith, hope, and love, he says the greatest is love. And the reason why is because when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. But when we all get there, there won't be faith and hope. Look, faith, again, is substance of things we do not see. We will see Christ. We shall see him face to face. We will see and be able to touch him. We won't need to believe in our hearts because our eyes are telling us he's right there. So faith and hope will pass away in eternity, but love will remain. Now here with this, he's pointing to, he's connecting it to this. So this hope is that certainty. And this evidence here, the only difference here between the word evidence and substance is it's more of a visual representation. Like you can have something with substance, but it not be seen, like wind. But when you have evidence of something, that's visual for people. So the evidence of the things not seen means it's expressing itself in a way you can tell. Now, think of it for a second. So if faith is connected to our hope, what's showing that faith if it's also invisible? What's making that evidence? Now, if you look at James, he's going to make it clear that's your works. Now, to make it very clear, you are not saved by your works. Your works are making that evidence of your faith, and that faith is making the evidence of what you are certain of. So when people look at you and wonder, how are you so certain that things are going to go well? The first connection is your faith. And how do we know that we have that faith? It's what you do. And you'll see that's what he's going to bring up. He's going to say, by faith with these heroes, and he's going to tell you what they did. Right? So, yes, absolutely, yes and amen, we are saved by faith alone, through grace in Christ Jesus, through grace in faith alone. That's how we're saved. But faith that saves is never alone. It comes with works. So we see what faith is here in verse 1. Now in verse 2, look at what faith does. First, we see that faith pleases God. He says, "For it, by it, the elders obtained a good report." See, what he's saying here is that these people that we see in the Old Testament, though we may not have realized it, what was of benefit to them was that they had faith. It was their faith that put them in positive standing with God. And so make it really clear here, they were saved in the Old Testament the same way that we are saved now. by faith in God. Now realize that faith is not tangible that in the way that ours is. They did not know that thousands of years from now, Jesus Christ was going to come and save them. They just knew that God was going to save them. Now we, with hindsight, are looking back at it, and we know it's Jesus Christ. But they are looking to the cross through shadows. We are looking back at it here with the Bible itself. And realize this also, when they say, by it, elders obtained a good report, that's the only way. Again, works will do nothing for you. It didn't say that they've done great things on their own and it gave them a good report. It's by their faith that this happened. So it doesn't just matter what you do, it needs to be grounded in faith, right? You can confess God with your lips and your heart be far from him. Have the faith. Look, in verse 3, we see the next thing that faith does. Faith founds and grounds our world. See, he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Okay, and this is it's a hard way for us to frame this, but basically he's making it clear, we see that the world was made. We can all see the things that are seen, and we know that there are things that are unseen, but we know that God made it by his word, all of it. Every single bit. There's not, as it says in 1 John, or as it says in John, not anything was made by him that was not made. So all of it, everything was made, that which was seen, that which was unseen. What tells us it? Faith. And let me be clear with this. When we talk about faith, that puts us on puts us over here as a target. You know, you're going to have atheists, you're going to have scientists who are going to look at Christians and say, you guys are so foolish. Because what do you guys have to claim for yourself for seeing the world like this? You only have faith. Well, realize this, Christians. Realize this, friends. Atheists have faith too. Their faith is just not in God. And I would actually argue that I think atheists have more faith because they have less evidence to work off of. They don't have that certainty. And they may say, well, I believe in science. That's my evidence. Well, realize this. For science to be true, you have to have faith that your perceptions are real, that if you see an apple fall from a tree, that your mind isn't being tricked by something, and you have to have faith in the fact that the future will repeat what you've seen in the past. There are more things to it than just seeing science. You have to have faith that this stuff all happened by chance, without intelligent design. That sounds like a lot of faith to me. And it's funny, I remember I've having conversations before with atheists where they bring up this issue and they'll say, listen, when you go down to it and you move back into biology, it can explain itself. And I asked this person, I said, well, what explains biology? And they're like, obviously, well, chemicals and chemistry. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, and what after that? And the person just kind of looked at me like, I don't know. I'm like, physics? He's like, yes. But we've just gotten into a realm of things that are laws. Laws aren't intelligent. They don't have intentionality. So how do those things come to be? Only through faith can we realize something intelligent made the physics and made the chemistry, made the biology, made everything. So faith is not empty. And realize this, with the atheists, they may be able to explain that these things just randomly came to being. But notice here again, we said the things which are not seen was made by God too. I still have not heard an explanation for how random elements formed morals. It doesn't exist. They have to connect us in some way because clearly we have morals that weren't evolved. So let me be clear. I'm not saying atheists are stupid, but I'm making the point here, neither are we for having faith. Our faith is God as the basis, not nothing. As verse 3 says, through faith we understand that these worlds were made that way. Now, let's end here with the first faith example we see. He brings up Abel. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's a little bit of a shocker to think of. Because if I were to have to make a list of the people in the Old Testament who are heroes who I could point to for faith, I don't think I would have thought of Abel first. He's so brief. It's so quick. It seems like the Bible doesn't pay him a lot of time or attention. But the reality of it is that first, obviously, it doesn't pay him attention because the story is not about Abel. From the beginning, it's about Christ. And so he may make an appearance and he may show himself as a picture, but the point is still moving forward past him. Same way we should be here. With our faith, we should realize that the story is not about us, right? The story moves on towards Christ. And as beautiful as it is here, we see that Abel is a picture of faith, even if we have so little known about him. So if there's so little known about you in history, make it a picture of faith. But so Abel here we see in Genesis 3, it says, when referring back to Genesis 4, it talks about how Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now I think that's just such a beautiful thing, because when we look in Genesis 4, it doesn't tell you why Abel's sacrifice was accepted and why Cain's wasn't. It just tells you that it was. And you can look at it and say, well, Abel sacrificed an animal. It shed blood. That's a picture of the sacrifice of Christ, so it's better than vegetables. You could say that. You could say, well, it mentions that Abel sacrificed the first fruits, showing more devotion to God, and it doesn't say that with Cain, so maybe that's why God accepted it. You could say that. I don't know for sure. Maybe those are roles to play in here, but the author of Hebrews makes it very clear Abel had faith, and Cain didn't. And the hardest part about that is God tells Cain that you could do right too. Cain could have had faith. Again, it's not just the practice that you're doing. It's the heart that you have. Look, you can go and do all the right things and check all the boxes and yet never be there. Like Judas was with Christ. He did all the things that the other disciples did up until the very end, and yet he didn't make it. Right? So it's about our heart. Now look at this. He says the result of it is he obtained witness that he was righteous, witness that he has righteousness. God told him that he was acceptable to him. Now for us, when we have faith, God gives us witness that we're righteous. He sends us the Holy Spirit, who is a comforter and will testify to our souls of his love for us. And look at this, the very last part it says, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Just think of that for a second. Abel died thousands of years ago. He only had that much written about him. And yet, the author of Hebrews picked it up, and today, thousands of years from then, we get up and we talk about Abel's faith. He has passed away. He's been buried in the ground. There's nothing that's left of his physical body, but his faith is still leaving a legacy. And I realize this, two things, that we are to leave legacies. We are to have our lives that go past what we physically live. The only way to do that is through our faith. The only way to do that in an important way. Yes, we can go and make history, but eventually that will all fade away too. And all that matters is what's left for Jesus. And the last thing I like about this is it says that Abel is speaking yet. He's dead and yet still speaking. And to me, that sounds like a contradiction. Because in the reality, it's proving a point. Like, dead things don't speak. He physically is dead, but he is still alive. And if you jump at the end of Hebrews 11, you jump into Hebrews 12. In verse 1, it says, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. In Hebrews 12, it's referring to the heroes of the faith that we're going to talk about. So he's making it very clear, like, these people are not dead. Like, one day, if you have your faith in Christ, you will get to meet Abel. You will get to speak to him. He will speak to you. And even now, what he is doing is still speaking. So we'll keep moving through and we'll keep talking about other heroes of the faith. But just to end it with this, to live our lives, to connect to the grace of God, and to have a legacy after we die, it's going to be so clear. It is all about our faith in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we are just, again, so grateful for your love, Lord, and how you've made it so obvious to us through creation and through your word, and that you've made it to where we can be simple people and come to it. And that it is. It's just simple. that you have loved us and all we have to do is turn away from our sin and accept the free gift of eternal life. So please just move our hearts to not be prideful or to not be opposed to something because it just seems too easy and it just doesn't seem right to us. Lord, move us to life and to a legacy where we do something that matters, to where we can live past our physical death and to where we can connect with those from long ago who loved you and connect to those who are right next to us today. Thank you for moving us to have faith with your Holy Spirit, Lord, for convicting us of our sin and renewing us constantly day by day. We just bless your name and we ask this all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.